Today's shir is L'zeicha Nishmas Rav Yehuda Leib ben Rav Shmuel. Our shir is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tesam Beis, three lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. After Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, there was a Mishkan put up in Shiloh. That Mishkan that was in Shiloh was there for 369 years until it was ultimately destroyed. Our Mishnah, as has been the case of the Mishnayos that we've been learning in our parak, focuses on what are the halachic similarities and differences between the Mishkan Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Shina Yerushalayim, there is no difference between the Mishkan that was in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Yerushalayim. Ela Shavishila Oichem Kotchem Kalim. In Shiloh, we may eat kachem kalim or ma'is sheni b'kol aroya. Any place from where you can see Shiloh, that's qualified to be considered that you may eat ma'is sheni and kachem kalim. Yerushalayim, but in Yerushalayim, we're only allowed to eat those foods lefnim menachayma inside the wall, inside the walls of Yerushalayim. There's a question that the Rishonim debate. Do you have to be able to see Shiloh, or do you have to be able to see the Mishkan in Shiloh in order to be considered a place that is permitted to eat Kachem Kala and Ma'aseh Sheni? Yerushalayim, Lufnim and Acholim, the Kamakan, both in Yerushalayim and in Shiloh, Kachem Kala and Acholim, Kachem Kala may only be eaten, Lufnim and Acholim, inside the walls of the Chatzor of the Azara. Even though, as the Rishonim point out, in Yerushalayim, there weren't klayim. In Yerushalayim, klayim means curtains. In Yerushalayim, there weren't curtains. In Yerushalayim, there were walls. But because in Shiloh, there were klayim walls, that's why the Mishnah uses the word klayim. Particularly, as we will, Mitzvah Shem, learn that there were curtains even put up in the building of the base, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ritva makes a very interesting observation. Throughout our perek, when the Mishnah has been comparing subjects, the Mishnah speaks about the differences between subjects. The Mishnah doesn't focus on the similarities. Here, the Mishnah is not only focusing on the differences, but the Mishnah is also focusing on the similarities between Yerushalayim, between the Mikdash and Shiloh, because this is where we're going to be learning the halachas of Shiloh. Continues the Mishnah, Kedusha Shiloh Yesh Achra Heter. After Shiloh was destroyed, we could bring again Kabanos on the Bamos. Kedusha Yerushalayim and Achra Heter. Even after Yerushalayim was destroyed, there was no longer ever again a right to bring Kabanos on a Bama. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Begins the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Shemati Shemakrivim Beis Chanyoy. I heard that Kabanos are brought in the Mizbeach that Chanyoy, the son of Shimna Tzadik, built in Mitzrayim. And Tosfos, of course, asks, how could you bring Kabanos in Mitzrayim? Haven't Chazal taught us, as we learn often in Shas, that Gozru Tuma Al Eretz Amim, they established that all of the foreign countries should have a tumah. So how could a carbon be brought in a place that has in it tumah? So Taisus answers that since midaraisa, the halacha is that one may bring a carbon in these places. So once midaraisa, you're allowed to bring a carbon in these areas, it's considered that the rule that Chazal said that there's tumah in these places would not apply. Another pshat that the Yaivitz wants to suggest that when Chanya's temple, so to speak, was built, it was before they had made a gzera on Tumas Eretz Amim. And since it was before they made that gzera, the rule that you could bring Kabanos in that place remained. Obviously, he is of the opinion that Beis Chanya is not considered a place of Avodah Zarah, and also Kesavar, Kedush Rishayna Kitchel Shata, Vlai Kitchel Asalavai. The Kedusha of base of Yerushalayim did not remain forever. And therefore, once the base of Mikdash was destroyed, one may bring Kabbanis elsewhere. They're no longer only allowed to bring them in Yerushalayim in the base of Mikdash. Says the Gemara, where did he get this from? The Ksiv, Kiloi Basim Anata, Ala Menucha Vala Nachla. Menucha is a Shiloi, Nachla is Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk speaks about Yerushalayim and Shiloi. And what is the Torah trying to teach us with this Pasuk? Makish Nachla Menucha. They're connected. Ma Menucha, which is Shiloi, Yesher Achrea Hetor. We just learned that after, in the Mishnah, that after Shiloh was destroyed, they were allowed to bring Kabbanis on a Bama. Af Nachla, so to Yerushalayim, after the Beis HaMikdash was unfortunately destroyed, Yesh Achrea Hetor, we may bring Kabbanis on a Bama. So Taisus Masechta Menachos asks, even if we'll say Kedusha Rishayna, like Kitchel Asalavai, and the Kedusha doesn't remain forever, but often when we learn Sugis about Kachim, we learn about the concept of Shrutei Chutz, and that you're not allowed to bring a carbon elsewhere. So what do we do with that issue? So the Rambam says that indeed, he was over the lav, but just because he was over the lav does not disqualify the carbon. The Yarv Tavash suggests that the issue of Shrutei Chutz only applies if you bring a carbon in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're bringing the carbon, as we're learning now, outside Yerushalayim, you're bringing the carbonos in Mitzrayim, the Isser Shrutei Chutz doesn't apply. Another teretz that I saw is that this Isser only applies by a carbon brought by a Jew. We Jews are told that we may not bring carbonos, which are Shrutei Chutz. But here we're speaking about a carbon that was brought by Akum. The kabbanis that are being discussed here are kabbanis that are brought by Nachrim, that this halacha doesn't apply to them. Amalei, so the Bnei Yeshiva asked Rabbi Yitzchak, Amarta, is this indeed your opinion, that kabbanis may be brought in Beis Chanya b'zman hazeh? Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, Loi. Amarava, Halayhim is a lashon shvuah. Amra, Rabbi Yitzchak, you did say this halacha, the gamrina l'minei, and I learned it from you. And he's asking him, my tamaka hadabay, but you're obviously retracting and no longer willing to say that that's the halacha. Shukashid Ramari. The reason you're backing off is because Ramari asked. The Master Ramari. Ramari asked, Kedusha Shiloh Yeshachrea Heter. We learned in our Mishnah that indeed after Shiloh was destroyed, we could bring Kabbanis on Bamas. Kedusha Shilayim Enachrea Heter. That's why the question is, how could you suggest that Kabbanis could be brought after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in a Bama in Mitzrayim? Void. Another question. Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis on the Beis, Mishabar Yerushalayim, once they arrived in Yerushalayim, Nesra Bamas, the Bamas became prohibited, V'loi Hoyolam Oid Heter. They're never permitted again. V'hi Oysala Nachla. That's what the Pasuk says, that once we come to the Nachla, we can never bring Kabbanis on a Bama again. So says the Gemara, that actually this subject, Tanoihi, the halacha of Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel Shatva, Kitchel Asalavai, does that Kedusha remain forever or not, is actually Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Idyos, Perikhes Mishnah Vav teaches us. Amar Belazar Shemati, Sheibayin Heichel, that when they built the base of Mikdash, also Klaim L'Heichel, in the place where the walls around the base of Mikdash were supposed to be, they built curtains around it, also Klaim L'Azara, and they also put up curtains around the place where the Azara was supposed to be. Jess says the Mishnah, there's a difference between these curtains. El Shebaheichel, Boinim B'chutz, by the Heichel they put the curtains on the outside. They put them up in a way that the people who were doing the building were standing on the outside of those curtains. The Azara, but the curtains that were put up around the area, which is supposed to be the Azara, were put up from the inside. I heard that Kabbanis can be brought, even though the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. We may eat kachikachim where the Azari is, at the Shein Kloyim, even though there are no curtains standing there. Kachim Kalam Asasheni may be eaten in Yerushalayim, at the Shein Chayma, even though it doesn't have a war. Neshikdush Rishayna, Kitchel Lashatav, Kitchel Lotzalavai, and therefore the Kedush of these areas remain forever. Mechlal, obviously, that if the Rebbe Lezer holds like Kacha Lasalovai, and therefore he holds that once the Kedusha is no longer there, and in order to sanctify that area, they had to build those special curtains, that's why they could bring the Kabbanis there. According to Yeshua, that the Kedusha remains, we don't need to put up curtains. So we see that this subject that we're discussing, if Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel Shatav, Kitchel Asalavai, is actually a machlokes tanoim. Amar Ravina Ravashi, Mimai. What says that that's the way to understand? Dilma, perhaps to Kula Alma, everybody will actually hold the Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asalavai. Each one reported the machlokes is not a machlokes. Does Yerushalayim need to be re-sanctified? Everybody will agree that Yerushalayim need not be re-sanctified. The machlokes is exactly what happened when they built the Yerushalayim. But if that's going to say that the Kedusha remains, so then the question is, why do they need to make these curtains? Says the Gemara, the entire purpose of making these curtains were Alma. They were only put there for tznius, that people should not look or not go where they're not supposed to, not look and not go where they're supposed to go. So, as the Sifrei Chacham explains, just like in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, they built curtains around the Azara, they built a wall around the Azara, and they built it in a way that it should be 5 amos higher than the Mizbeach. And the reason it was built that way, because they were concerned that nobody should be able to see what's going on in the Azara. They were anxious that there should be tznius, that not everybody should see what's going on in the Azara. Here too, even though the Kedusha is there, but as we're doing it, we want to do it right. Says the Gemara, Elkani Tanoi. As we've been discussing a number of times in our Masechta, there's the concept of the Batei Arachayma. The Batei Arachayma are cities that have a wall, and as we've discussed, a city that has a wall has unique halachas in a number of areas. One is in the selling of such cities. The halach is if you sell a city in the time of Yovel, for 2 years you can't buy back the city. Afterwards you could start buying it back. And once Yovel comes, it goes back to its original owner. A bayis yerchaima, the halach is, you can only buy back within the first year of the sale. And if you don't buy back within the first year of the sale, it remains with the buyer forever. We spoke about Mitzrayim being sent out of the cities. Which cities are the Mitzrayim sent out of? Cities that have a wall. Another halach is that the Torah speaks about Migrash, empty spaces outside the city. That also only applies in a city that has a wall. And of course, as we're learning in Amasechta, a city that has a wall from the time of Yeshua is a city that reads the Megillah of 15 other, not on 14 other. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Amar Mishmo Bereb Yossi, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu, why did the Mishnah in Masechta Erech and Daflamet Beis mention these cities that they considered that they have a wall from Yeshua ben Nun, and they considered that they're Batei Arachayma for the various halachas that we just mentioned? Shaul b'nei Goyle Matzu Esel v'Kitcham, because, explains the Gemara, says Rabbi Shmuel, when they came back in the time of Ezra, they found these cities and they sanctified them. Avar Shainis, other cities, Batlu Mishabat L'Aretz, they no longer have the Kedusha that they had originally.
al-Mukasavar. So it's clear that it's the opinion of Rishma Reb Yossi. The Kedusha is shayna kitchel shata. Why kitchel asalavai? The Kedusha does not remain forever, and that's why they had to be re-sanctified. Ask the Gemara, v'minu, Amar Rishma Reb Yossi, v'chi elu b'var hayu, are these the only cities that are considered as if they have that they have a war from the time of Yishu Benon? The Kval Nemar, the Pasuk says, Shishim Ir, Pasuk in Parashas Devarim, Shishim Ir Kol Cheravel Aragov, V'ksiv Kol Elu Orim Betzuras Chaim Gavaya. They have a city, there are many more cities, Elulam Manu Chachamim, I say, why were these cities singled out? They sanctified these cities. Says the Gemara, Kitchum, Hashta, do you, or were they only sanctified now? Ha'amri, we say that a city doesn't need to be sanctified. Says the Gemara, Shmatzus Elu, these were the cities as they were entering Eretz Yisrael that they discovered, Umanam. V'loy El Bavad, and continues the Braisa, not only these cities, Elo, Kol Shetalucha Masaris B'yotcha Ma'avasecha, any city that you will be able to establish a tradition, that's Mekafes Chaim Yemosh Yishu Benon, Kol HaMitzvahs Na'agimba, all the mitzvahs of Bati Erechaim that we just identified apply there, M'neshe Kedush Rishayna, Kitzel HaShat V'Kitzel HaSalavai. So ask the Gemara, we have here a contradiction in the opinion of Yishmael. In the Braisa, in the first Braisa, he said, Kitchel Shoyna, Kitchel Shata, Floy Kitchel Asalavai. And in this Braisa, he says that it was Kitchel Asalavai. Answers the Gemara, Trey Tanoi, a leader of Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. This Machloik is Tanoim, what is the opinion of Yishmael Rabbi Yossi? Vibay Seima, Horeb Elazar Rabbi Yossi Aymer. This Braisa, the second Braisa, was not said by Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi. It was actually said by Rabbi Elazar by Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar by Rabbi Yossi, Omer, the Pasuk says, V'kam bayis ashebi'ir asheloi chayma. Now, the word loi means that it has a city. So it ought to have been spelled Lamed Vav. But when you look in the Sefer Torah, it's actually spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. What does God come to teach us? That even though it doesn't have a wall currently, it once had a wall, it's enough. And that's why, because Kitcha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shatai, V'Kitcha L'Asalavai. So we see that this concept of Kitcha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shatai, Kitcha L'Asalavai, is actually a machloikis Tanoim. I saw that the Sefer Divrei Yisrael explains Kitcha L'Shatai, V'Kitcha L'Asalavai, he says, comes to teach us an important lesson. Kitcha Rishayna, if a person, when he's young and still has energy, Kitcha Rishayna is Mekadosh himself, puts himself on the right path, then Kitcha Rishayna, that Kedusha, Kitcha Rishayna, the Kitcha L'Asalavai remains forever. The Meshech Chachma makes a very interesting point. He says, the halacha, as the Rambam says, is Kitcha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shata V'loi Kitcha L'Asalavai became Kaddish at the beginning, but that Kedusha does not remain forever. Kedusha Rishniya, the Kedusha that happened when they came with the Beis HaShmegdash Sheni, Kitcha L'Shata V'Kitcha L'Asalavai. So the Meshech Chachma wants to understand what's the difference between the Kedusha Rishayna and the Kedusha Shniya. So he answers, the first Kedusha that we had in Eretz Yisrael was through the Kibush of Yeshua. Since it was through the Kibush of Yeshua, so Yeshua captured it in war, and then when the Nachrim expelled us, that Kedusha became abolished. The second Kedusha, however, came because Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us them. And therefore, since that Kedusha was not through war, so even though we were sent to Golus, the Kedusha remains. Another pshat that he suggests, that the first Kedusha, we had the Aron, we had the Shechina. And when the Aron and the Shechina went out to Golus, so too did there's no longer that Kedusha anymore. But the second Kedusha never had the Aron and the Shechina. since it never had the Aron Shechina, once that could do, once, so even when we left that Yisrael, that Kedusha remains forever. And then he gives a third explanation. He says that the Kedusha Rishayna was when we, as the Gemara explains, accepted the Torah by being forced to accept the Torah. So then, if our connection is done by oinus, by being forced, by kaf aleim hakigigas, when we're expelled, we're expelled. But the second Kedusha came after the Nes of Mordechai and Esther. And as we learned and will learn, the Nes of Purim is a Nes that the Kedusha of Purim, that where we learn, they accept the Torah in the time of Achashverosh, Baratzin. So if it's a Kedusha that comes Baratz, the after Klai Yisrael was Makabal, the Torah Baratzin, such a Kedusha never goes away. So of course the question here is, now that we're learning that the Kedusha, certainly the Kedusha Shniyah, remains forever, the question is, why can't we bring Kabbonis in the Makom HaMikdash? So there are a number of reasons that are given. One is because we cannot necessarily ascertain the precise area in the base, in the Azara, where the Mizbeach stood. And the Kabbonis, they must be brought in the spot where the Mizbeach was. Another reason is that even if we'll, so we don't know where to put up a Mizbeach, and even if we put up a Mizbeach, the Mizbeach we would put up, they had a special worm called the Shamir, with which they cut the stones for the Mizbeach. We don't have that. Another problem is that the Kohanim have to wear the Bigdei Kuna. And included in the Bigdei Kuna are Tcheles, which we can't be sure which is the Tcheles. Another issue is that we're not sure about the Yichus of the Kohanim. Kabbonis obviously could only be bought by Kohanim, and we can't be sure of the Kohanim or have the proper yichus. Another problem is that all the Kohanim, Bezman HaZeh, are Tamimeis. And the people who are bringing Kabbonis are Tamimeis. Moreover, the question is, even if we can't, may we? So the Michas Chinuch discusses that a carbon has to be brought L'Reach Nechayach. The definition of Reach Nechayach means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the carbon. But when we are unfortunately living in a time of galus, the karbonis that we bring can never be brought l'reich nechayach. And therefore, not only is there no chiyuv to bring a karbon, there is no mitzvah even, given all these reasons, to bring karbonis. The Gemara begins to explain the psukim in the Megillah. It says the Gemara, v'hi mei achashverish. The pasuk says, v'hi mei achashverish. Amar Rav Levi, v'tem Rav Yonason. We have the following tradition. Wherever the Torah uses, wherever the pasuk uses the word vayhi, ain't el lashon tsar. As the Mashah explains, vayhi is vayhi. Vayhi stands for vayhi. It stands for a cry. It's something that we're crying out. And as I saw, the Manas Levi explains, why are we focused on the word Vayi? Because we usually don't begin a Pasuk, and certainly a Sefer, with the letter Vav. The letter Vav means a continuation of something. We're starting something from scratch here. Why does it begin with the word Vivo? Why does it begin with a Vav? To teach us this special limit of Vayi. Says the Gemara, Vayi b'mei Achashverosh, what was the Tzara? It was Haman. Behavior may shvaita shvaitim in Megillas Rus, Dav Rav. There was Rav. So in the first mass, the Tzara of Haman came only later. So how does it say, how do we say that Vihi at the beginning, Vihi Mechashverish, has to do with Haman? So I saw that the Sif Sicham explains that how did Haman have this opportunity to have this promotion, to become such an important individual, only because Klai Yisrael participated in the Sud of Achashverosh. So the Sud of Achashverosh has a direct relationship to Haman's success. That's why the Megillah, when it says Vihi, is connected to Haman. So the question is, why is the next, we could understand why the first Pasuk that the Gemara mentions is a Pasuk from Megillas Esther. We're learning Masechta Megillah. But why is the next pasuk from Sefer Rus? We're going to have psukim that are in the Chumash. Shouldn't they have mentioned first? So one teretz is given that the Ben Yoyada suggests, because we're speaking about Megillahs. Esther is a Megillah and Rus is a Megillah. Another pshat is because here, by these two psukim, it doesn't just say the word Vayihi. It says Vayihi b'yimei. That makes them extremely similar. Vayihi keichel adam l'roiv apnei adam, the pasuk says, in Parashas Bereishis, ubanos yoldav lahem. V'yar Hashem, what does it say? How does this all happen? V'yar Hashem kirabim chatus adam. As the Sfas Emes explains, this pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. We know throughout the Chumash, when the pasuk uses Hashem's name of Yudkei Vavkei, it means the Midas Arachmim. And when the pasuk uses the word Elokim, it means the Midas Adin. Here we find, says the Sfas Emes, that we're using the pasuk uses Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, and it represents a Midas Adin. The pasuk says regarding the Dor HaFlaga, and then the pasuk says, "Hav navnu lanu ir." Let's build a city. V'hi b'mei amrafel. The pasuk says that they all got together, and the next it says, "Os melchama." It was the next thing we had was a war. The pasuk says, "V'hi b'yosh Yeshua b'yirechai," and Yeshua's b'yirechai. It says the word v'hi, and as we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta, that there was somebody came. He had an outstretched sword to attack him. V'hi Hashem is Yeshua, v'hi Shama b'chal aretz. So it should be a positive how popular Yeshua was. But what happens, it says v'hi, it says v'yal ma'al b'nei Yisrael ma'al b'cheirim. The pasuk says that Yeshua had declared that everything that was in Yerichai, the first city that they captured, should be kept to the side. Should be left as a cheirim, and they violated it. That speaks about Elkanah, the father of Shmuel, and the pasuk says they experienced the difficulty. He had a wife, Chana. Hashem sagarachma, she didn't have children. The pasuk says vehi kezak and Shmuel. When Shmuel became elderly, the pasuk says his children didn't follow in his ways. The pasuk says. Vehi David l'chol drachav maskil v'Hashem imoy. David HaMelech was extremely successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. And then the pasuk says, Vehi shol oynes David, shol despised David. The pasuk says, Vehi kishoyosh v'Melech bebeisoy v'Hashem hinich lo yisvavav mikol avav. David HaMelech was sitting firmly in his monarchy. All of his enemies backed off for him. And then the pasuk says, "Rak atol esim debayis." He receives a message: "You will not have the schus to build the base of Mikdash." The ksiv asking whether he be yom hashmini kar moishel aron levan of zikri yisrael v'tanya. And the brayse speaking about this pasuk says, "Oisa yom haisa simchul fnei kadosh baruch hu." Was such a rejoiceful day by kadosh baruch hu ki yom shenivur bo shemayim v'aretz, like the day that shemayim v'aretz were created, because ksiv hacha v'yihi b'yom hashmini, v'ksiv hasam v'yerev v'yiker yom echad. So why we're saying that v'yihi represents a bad day? And says Gemara, it wasn't such a great day, because says the Gemara, hashachiv, that was the day that not shachiv nadav aviv, the nadav and aviv passed away. Says the Gemara v'yiksiv, the pasuk says regarding the building of Beis Hamikdash, v'hi b'shmonim shana v'abayim ma'ishana, l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, that was the day that the Beis Hamikdash was built. The pasuk says, v'ksiv v'kishara Yaakov es Rachel, v'ksiv v'yerev v'yvoike v'yoyim echad, v'kisheni, v'kishlishi, v'ketuva, there were all the days that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. As says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, kol v'yihi. So indeed, the Gemara rephrases. It says, when it says v'yihi, ikahachi, v'kehachi, it sometimes represents good news, and sometimes represents not good news. V'yihi b'mei, but when the pasuk uses the words v'yihi b'mei, ena el lashon tzar, it only represents bad news. Says the Gemara, Chamishi v'hi b'mei hava. Says the Gemara, the Torah speaks about, says v'hi b'mei five times. V'hi b'mei achashverish, which we mentioned earlier. V'hi b'mei shvaytim, which you mentioned earlier. V'hi b'mei amrafo, which we spoke about earlier. V'hi b'mei achav, that was when Klal Yisrael were in battle with the Plishtim, and all the Bati Knesiyos and Bati Midrashos were closed. V'hi b'mei hayakam, that was the beginning of the Churban Habayis, and Klal Yisrael going into Golos. V'am Reb Levi, Dovaza Mesaris B'yodeinim Avaseinu, Ometz v'amatzia, Ometz and Amatzia, Achim Havo, they were brothers. Says the Gemara, Ma'akam Ashmalon, what is he teaching us that we haven't learned? Answers the Gemara, Ki ad Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Reb Yonason, Kol Kala Shitznu b'beis Chamel, any Kala who acts in a modest fashion in the home of her in-laws, Zoichem Yoytzim Menu Melachim Neviim, she will be Zoichem to have children who are Neviim. So, why? So one pshat that I saw the Ben Yoyada offers is because when a woman acts in a modest fashion that causes that people shouldn't think about her, so people don't make a mistake, don't come to do the wrong thing. The job of a king is to make sure that people don't do the wrong thing. And that's why it's the most related. Another pshat I saw is somebody who acts to tznius, the definition of tznius is that they separate themselves from a world of gashmius. Kings, Nevi'im, are also separated from the rest of us. Another pshat is that the Midah Keneged Midah is that tznius is the most important and most beautiful Midah for a Jewish woman. And of course, the highest level that a person can reach is that it should be a king or a melech. So, Kol Kal Shitznuo Beis Chameh, Zoch V'yotzim Ben Melech Nevi'im, Menola Metamar. Where do we learn this from? From the story of Tamar. The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, V'yireh Yehuda V'yachshveh L'zoyna K'chisso Panav. So the Pasuk has an inherent difficulty. The Pasuk says, B'shum D'chisso Panav V'yachshveh L'zoyna, because she was covered her face, that's why she considered a zoyna. On the contrary, somebody who covers themselves up is the opposite of a zoyna. Elo. She always acted in a modest fashion when she lived by her own in-laws. So Yehuda did not know her. That's why Neviim came out. Amitz and Amatzia were brothers. V'ksiv Chazon Yishiyah ben Amitz Yishayahu as a Navi. And of course, the question is, David HaMelech was a Navi as well. So why doesn't David HaMelech mention? So the Mashah says that Yeshaya was primarily known as a Navi. David was known as a Melech. Another question, when it says Melochim, me David. It sort of said Melochim me Yishai. David was Yishai's son. So I saw the Mepharshim say a beautiful teretz. We know that David HaMelech was really not supposed to survive. The only reason he survived was because Adam HaRishon gave him 70 years of his life. So it wasn't Yishai that created David. It was Adam HaRishon. That's why it doesn't say David me Yishai. The Pasuk says, as the Gemara just said, Amitz v'amatzio achim. So I saw a beautiful pshat. Amitz v'amatzio achim. Amitz means somebody who makes effort. If somebody begins by making an effort, by amitz, by trying to do the right thing, then matzko, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that if you're trying to do the right thing, then he gives you the siyata d'shmaya, that you should be able to succeed. V'am Rav Levi, Davazem Mesaris B'yadenim Avaseinu, Mokum Aron Min Amida. The place of the Aron did not take up any place. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, it was a nes. Tanya Nami Hachi, Aron Shasa Moshe, the Aron that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yesh Lo Ayas Amos L'chol Ruach. It was 10 by 10. V'ksiv l'fnei advir esrim ama oirich v'esrim ama roichiv. V'ksiv knaf ar kruv echad esu amas v'knaf ar kruv echad esu amas. So we see that the kruvim took up 20 amas. So Aaron gufei, so where was the room for Aaron? Aaron gufei echad koi, elash mamina, b'nei sayo oimid, then Aaron stood with a nais. So Rav Chaim Brisker explains, what is the lesson that the Aaron doesn't take up any place? So he says that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph teaches us that there are three ksarim, there are three crowns with which Klal Yisrael have been blessed. There's the Keser Torah, the Keser Kuhuna, and the Keser Malchus. The Keser Kuhuna was limited to Aaron, to the Kohanim. The Keser Malchus, as we just discussed, belongs to the family of David. The Keser Torah is available to anybody. Anybody who connects himself to Torah, anybody who learns Torah, can succeed and can be zoicha to the Keser Torah. So says Rav Chaim Brisker. We go into the Beis HaMikdash, we go into the Mishkan. The Keser of Kahuna is represented by the Zer, by the crown, which was around the Mizbeach, HaKetoiris, which represents that Keser belongs to the Kohanim. The Keser Malchus is represented by the Zer, by the crown, which was around the Shulchan. Kings are wealthy. But the Keser of Torah is represented by the Zer, by the crown, which is around the Aron. But we're trying to teach, Gemara is trying to teach us, explains Rav Chaim Brisker, that Makom Aron Einam Amida. It's not limited to a place. It's not limited to a family. It's not limited to an individual. It's not connected to any of these boundaries. Anybody who connects himself to the Torah Kedoshah will be successful and will be able to succeed in his learning. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yonah is impossible of Pesach HaPash Samaakha. As he would begin to learn the Megillah, he would begin like this. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, I will completely wake out. I will completely wipe them out. Shem Zeksav. They won't have their own writing. Sher Zeloshin. They won't have their own language. So Tysus, the very masculine Sher, asks that they do have a language. So what is the Gemara saying? That they won't have a language. So he explains that in those days, the kings, the noblemen, had their own language. That wasn't the case in Bavel. The Tosfos Rid gives a different explanation. He says, sometimes you have a language of a country that everybody's anxious to know that language. Even people who don't live in that country are interested in knowing that language. He says, the language of Bavel, even though Bavel was a very big country, nobody was interested in learning that language. It wasn't considered an important language. Nin, so Malchus, they won't continue as a Malucha. V'neched, as we know, refers to Vashti, that she was wiped out. Rashum HaNachmeni Pasuk La'apascha La'apash Sumihocha. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Tachas HaNatzutz Yal V'roish V'sachas HaSirpod Yal Adas. Tachas HaNatzutz, Tachas Hamana Rosha, in the place of Hamana Rosha, Sha'asa Atzmai Avodah Zarah, that he turned himself into Avodah Zarah, the Ksiv, B'chol HaNatzutzim, B'chol HaNahalalim, these are words that refer to Avodah Zarah, Yal of Rosh, Mordechai took his place, Mordechai Nikar Rosh, B'chol HaPsamim. Why is Mordechai take off of his place? So I saw, Why is it considered psamim? Shnava ata krachl chapsamim roish mar derar umetagaminen maridachi. So Maral explains. We know one of the important concepts of ktiris is everything about the ktiris was done privately. It's mixing the ktiris, bringing the ktiris was brought in mizbech ktiris in the Beis HaMikdash when no one was allowed to enter. So the Neis of Purim, as we're going to speak often, is different than all other Nisim. The Neis of Purim was a Neis that was done not in a public way, which is the same as the Ketores. Another Pshat is that the Neis of Purim, began by Haman saying Lashon Hara against Klal Yisrael. So that represents Lashon Hara, which is something that's done in a concealed way, and therefore the lesson is the Ketoros, which is also done that way. Tachas Sipet, Tachas Asirpad, Tachas Vashti Harisha, Bas B'Noisha Nevuchadnezzar Rasha, Shesara of Refidus Beis Hashem, to destroy the Beis Hashem. The Ksiv Refidosa Yizov. Yal Adasa, Esa Atzadekis, Shenikrus Adasa, Esther is called Adasa, Shenemar, Vihi Oymen as Adasa, Vahoy Hashem Lois, Zumrika Megillah, Lois Oilam, Loi Kores, Elu Yimei Purim, as we discussed earlier in Amasechta, that it remains forever. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Pasuk Lai Parsha Mahocha, Kash Shos Hashem Leichem Lehetav Eschem, Ken Yosef Lahor Eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is satisfied to do good for us, and he's satisfied the other way as well. Ask the Gemara, Umi Chadi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Memalosan Shur Rishoyim, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu satisfied when the Rishoyim have a downfall? V'ksiv, B'tzeis Lufnei Echulot, V'ayim Ahoyd Lo Hashem Kiloy Lom Chazdoy, V'ayim Rabbi Yochim, Emneim Ha'aloy Nemar, Kitoy Ba'y Dozu, why doesn't it say like it normally does? Ahoyd Lo Hashem Kitoy, Kiloy Lom Chazdoy, Alfi, Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sumech, Memalosan Shur Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy when Rishoyim have a downfall. The Malachim wanted to say Shira as the Mitzrayim were drowning in the Yam. We cannot say Shira when they're having a downfall. That's the reason why on Shvi Shal Pesach we don't say the whole Hallel. The reason we don't say Hallel the whole that day is because even though there was a tremendous nace of Kriyas Yamsuf, still, they did not say Shira in their normal fashion because what that day represents. So I saw that Amar Belazar, however, who ain't a sauce, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not satisfied when the Rishonim have a downfall. Avacherim Mesis, the Klal Yisrael are satisfied. Dekanami, Gain Yosus, Flakes of Yosus, that doesn't mean others will be happy, Shmamino. So the person that because explains the Dimri Emes. By Klal Yisrael, Machshavara and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Metzafel Maisa. But by Rishoyim, Metzavara, Metzafel Maisa. And therefore they deserve more of a punishment than Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Rav Abba Bekahan Apostle Epistle, I Parish Mahokam. Lodem shetoyvul funov nosan chachma v'das v'simcha zamor chayet tzadik l'chayte nos inyan lasov l'chnav zahamin losov toyvul fnei l'kim zamor chay v'ester es the morch v'ester v'ksiv v'tosim ester beis haman rava ba ufron pasul apasul ay pashus mahocha he began with this pasuk. The pasuk says v'samti kisi be'elam v'varetem mishom melech v'sarim melech that was destroyed with Ashti, the Sara that was destroyed, well, Hamavah Sara Bonov. And Tosfos makes a very interesting point. He says the name should be read Ufron, not Ephraim. Why should it not be named Ephraim? Because Ephraim is a Rasha, and we shouldn't give a name after somebody who was a Rasha. But the Mepharshim discussed this. They say we find that Basmas was the wife of Esav and the daughter of Yishmael, but Shlomo Melech called his daughter Basmas. So we see that they did use the name of Rishoyim. So some suggest that if the name is a nice name, even though it was a Rasha that was called by that name, they shouldn't change the name. And I saw that Chashuki Chemed, you may use that name. He says, he has a very interesting discussion where there was a girl whose name was Izevel. And her name was Izevel, and she became a Baalas Tshuva, and now she's getting married. And the question is, should that name be written in her ksuva? And he says that it doesn't have to be used. If nobody calls her by that name, it should not be used. So he mentions, interesting Shaila, that there was a mile by a bris, and they were not religious people, and the father, and the mile asked the father of the baby, what name are you giving your son? So he said, I want his name to be George. He says, George is not a Jewish name. Every Jew has to have a Jewish name. So he says that I just had two aunts that passed away. One name was Chaya and one name was Toiba. And the question is, that was the name that this boy was given, even though these are names of girls. What should be done? So he says, and now this boy became a Baal Tshuva. So he says he asked his father-in-law, and his father-in-law said he should make Chaya into Chayim. Chaya means to live. Chayim is the male version. And Taiba means a Yoina. It means a dove. So call him Chaim Yoina. And he says his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshua, said that a man should never have the name of a woman. It's a very bad simon, and he won't be able to survive with it. And then he discusses an interesting shaila, where, again, there was somebody who was irreligious, making a bris for his son, and he asked him, he said, what's the name? He said, John. He said, what? He needs a Hebrew name. So he said, I had a grandfather, his name was Avram Yaakov, let his name be Avram Yaakov. Then this man had another baby, and again he made a bris, and again he wanted to only use a non-Jewish name, and again the male asked for a Jewish name. This man only knew one Jewish name, Avram Yaakov. So he said, let him be called Avram Yaakov. So the question is, two brothers are not allowed to be called by the same name. The Moil at the second bris wasn't aware that there was an older brother with that name. But now you have two brothers with the same name. What should be done? So the Chashuk Yechemet says that the second brother, it's a bad simon, it's an ayin hara, if two brothers have the same name. So the second brother should not be called Avram Yaakov. They should add Chaim Avram Yaakov, and then it'll be fine. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak Pasul Apischa LaPashas Malcha. As he would begin the Megillah, he would say, Kevadim Anachnu Bavaseinu Lo Yuzavnu Alakeinu V'yeto Leinu Chesed Lefnei Malchei Pras Emesai. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for Klal Yisrael tremendous chesed? B'zman Haman, he did chesed for us then, and he should always be able and always continue doing chesed on behalf of Klal Yisrael.